three Sunday nights about on it, and I started feeling bad, like there were so many people here. Like Sunday night, we had a big crowd, and there were so many people, there were so many needs. And so I said I'd do it three Sunday nights, and that's it. And so we're gonna try to finish. There's some questions on it tonight. We've had one man here three Sunday nights in a row that I've been trying to get to come to church for 5 years, and he's almost 80 years old, and he's never been saved. And I've witnessed to him, and he walked in them doors three Sunday nights in a row. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to preach on hell hot and heaven sweet. And so y'all pray for him that he'll come back this Sunday. I went and witnessed to him, and I witnessed to him one time sitting over at his house, and he sat there, and I called his name. You'll know him if, when he comes and gets saved. I believe he will. I got right down to it, and I went through the plan of salvation, and I said, you want to bow right now and pray with me? And he just looked at the floor, and I said, do you want to bow right now and pray with me? And he just, come on, right now, would you? You want to pray right now? And I sat there for a long time, and he said, boy, this weather's changing, ain't it? Just like that. And he just pushed that conviction off. And he's been here the last three Sunday nights. So let's all get together and pray for him. Can we do that? Y'all pray for him. I mean, 79, I believe. 79 years old. Man, you know, either way you look at it, he couldn't have too much longer in this world. If he got another 15 years, that ain't long. So let's pray that the Lord will touch him. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I have had so many people ask questions, and I don't have all the answers, but I know somebody that does. And he's our teacher, the Holy Ghost. And I might have stirred up more questions than I did answers. I don't know. But that's good for you. Good for you to have questions, make you dig in the Word of God. Have you ever noticed this about studying the Bible? The more you find out, the more you learn, the more you learn you don't know. And that's the way the Bible is. The more you learn about the Bible, the more you find out you don't know about the Bible. Which means people think they know it all, don't know much. The real Bible student knows there's a lot of stuff he don't know. And if a man thinks he knows everything, you better get away from him just as fast as you can run. He's dangerous. Nobody knows it all. Nobody's got it all right. Nobody's got all the answers. And we're all students trying to learn, trying to do better in the things of God. So I want y'all to help me now. I need y'all to stay with me for a few minutes tonight, because I'm gonna do a dangerous thing. You don't do this on a study like this. We're going to give you a chance to ask questions or say whatever you want to say. I'm just kidding. It's not. I know we can all do it in here tonight. You got to remember the entire book of 1 Corinthians, or the whole chapter of chapter 14, was Paul writing to a church trying to correct the misuse of tongues. That's the whole theme of chapter 14. He was correcting the misuse of tongues. It was an early church. There was Jews everywhere in and around that area of Corinth. So the gift of tongues were still operating during this early church to witness to those Jews. And he told them, he said, they're for a sign, and the Jews require a sign, and tongues are that sign. He said, the signs of an apostle were done by me. That's tongues, healing, and miracles, performing miracles. And he told them, he said, we have the signs of the apostles. Now, look at chapter 13 tonight. Chapter 13, one chapter back, and verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8. Charity, that would our definition of real love, God's love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. That's interesting, isn't it? Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, if you went to probably 90% of the independent Baptist churches, the preacher would teach you that which is perfect would be the Bible, And when the Bible was finished being written, the sign gifts, tongues, miracles, and healing would fade out. Now they do that because they're in such an attempt to try to make you believe that the sign gifts ended and that the gift of tongues is not for today, that they make that mean the Bible. I don't think you can do it. I don't think it's talking about the Bible. I think it's talking about the coming of the Lord and the second advent when he sets up and that which is perfect has come. I wouldn't fight with nobody. Most preachers I know preach that's the Bible. But, you know, I wouldn't fuss with you either way. But what they're trying to do is make you believe that tongues ceased when the Bible was finished, which it probably did, but the Bible don't say that. Now, let's go into chapter 14. Let's get chapter 14 tonight. Look at chapter verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So it's not wrong for them Christians to want to have spiritual gifts. But he said, rather make sure that prophesying is number one. Most people that you know who are in the charismatic movement do not put prophesying as number one. What is prophesying? It's telling the future. That's all it is. They try to give it different names like foretelling and forthtelling. It's foretelling. Prophecy is foretelling. And every Christian, when we get up here and we say, we're going to heaven one day, I'm prophesying right there. I'm telling the future. When I tell a man, if you'll trust Jesus, he'll save you, I'm prophesying. I'm telling somebody something that'll do them some good. When I tell you, if you'll repent of your sins, the Lord will forgive you, I'm prophesying. When I tell you the Lord's coming back one of these days, if you die in your sins, you'll go to hell, I'm prophesying. That's what he said, rather do that. Okay? Rather, verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, boy, there's when the fur hits the fan. First of all, unknown in your King James Bible means unknown to the people that are there. In the context, he says, anybody, if I get up here and I go, ain't nobody in here knows what I said. It's unknown to you. It does not mean that they ain't somebody somewhere in the world who does know what it means. It don't mean that. Now, there are people who try to tell you you've got your own special language and nobody in the world understands it. That is not what the Bible said. The context is nobody in that church knows, no man understandeth him. Now watch this, verse 2. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now look at that little word Spirit. That's a little S. That does not say Holy Ghost. That does not say Spirit of God. That's that person's spirit. Every charismatic preacher in Burke County, if he was here tonight, he'd say, in the Holy Ghost I speak mysteries. That ain't what he said. That's a little S. Your King James Bible's got it right. Now, how do we know what this is? Let me show you how you know. Turn back to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Turn back to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and let me show you something. This is very important. If you don't get anything else, get this. Chapter 2 and verse 11. Look at chapter 2 and verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? It's the spirit of man. When it talks about a man's spirit, when I talk here tonight, there's either one of three spirits coming out of me and off of me. The spirit of man, which is just me. The spirit of God, or the spirit of the devil. When a man preaches, when you witness, when you sing, there's either, and I'm sure all of us have experienced all three of them. Sometimes the devil gets a hold of us. Sometimes the Lord gets a hold of us. And sometimes it's just us. Everything ain't necessarily God. Like some people say, well, you believe all them people speaking in tongues are demon possessed? No, I don't believe that. Not at all. I believe some of them are more right with God than most of us. But I believe a lot of them are just, it's them. It's the spirit of man. Now, if you're not convinced that's talking about man's spirit, look at the verse 11. Say, the spirit of man which is in him, even so things of the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God, capital S. See that? That's chapter 2, verse 11. So there's a difference in the spirit, little s, spirit of man, and the capital S, spirit of God, in this scripture. Now, again, look at chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. See that? My spirit prayeth. Man prays in an unknown tongue, it's his spirit prayeth, but his understanding is unfruitful. If you talk to a charismatic preacher, he would say that verse means this. When I'm praying in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. That ain't what it said. It said, my understanding, I understand it, but it's unfruitful. It don't do anybody else any good. You know how you know? Let's read the context. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, they were saying, I'll pray in tongues and I'll pray in English. I'll sing in tongues and I'll sing in English in their church. All right? Else, what shall thou bless the Spirit? Verse 16, man's spirit. How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? No man understands me. If I'm up here and I'm going, he's out of I can understand it, but my understanding's unfruitful. That's why it said, let him pray that he may interpret. All right, I've done stirred up enough right there for people to fuss about all over the world. So I will stop right there. And I ain't even got time to get to all the questions yet, let alone the answers. Yeah. Yeah. It sure does. Like you're preaching something, and there might be somebody there that's, you know, got that something wrong in their life, and the preacher just hits it right on. Sometimes the Spirit of God works through like that. But what we're going to see the time we get through with this is, it don't matter what you feel, it don't matter what you thought, what you saw, what you've heard, or what your grandma said, we're going to let the book judge our feelings and not our feelings judge that book. That's why we believe the Bible here. Anybody else got a question right quick? What Jason just mentioned, how would that be different than the word of knowledge? I don't know. The word of knowledge, I don't know. Maybe some people just have that. I don't know. I mean, you know, you've been around people like that. I always think of Miss Kerr, somebody like that. Miss Kerr, I've always called Miss Kerr when I have a burden or a problem, and it seems like sometimes she just has a word of knowledge. I don't know if it really is or not, but you know, you talk to people like that, and it seems like, boy, God just gives them the right words for you. I don't know if that's a gift. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, anybody else, right quick before we get back into this? We're going to talk more about that prophesying here in just a second. Now, God understands you, but if you're speaking in the Spirit, now that means this. If it's my Spirit praying, I have control over it. Just like this. Just like when I get down here and I say, Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless our service tonight. I'm in control of what I'm doing. The Holy Ghost ain't got a hold of me and making me do that. I feel like I'm led by the Spirit, and I feel like He can pray through me. But we cooperate with Him. If I'm right with God and prayed up and confessed up, I feel like the Lord works through me. But He don't grab me. You watch out for these people saying, well, I couldn't help it. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And he don't make you do nothing. He don't make your spirit cooperates with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you yield yourself to Him. Now, somebody asked me the other day. They said, Brother Danny, what about people who shout a certain way? Certain way. I said, I don't know. I don't know if it's the Lord got a hold of them. I don't know if just because they seen somebody else do it and they do it. If it's not against Scripture, then we don't have a problem with it. We know in the Bible, when that one man got healed, he went walking and leaping and praising God. He sure did. I mean, he went, woo, like that, you know, praising God like that. So we know that's not against Scripture. And in the Old Testament, they raised their hands In the Bible, they raised their hands and they said amen and they fell on their face. So all of that scriptural, they raised their hands, they fell on their face, they said amen. That's even mentioned here in this chapter, a man falling on his face. I say again, there's no place in the Bible. Somebody tried to correct me Sunday night and said there was a place in the Bible where they did groan. I searched my Strong's Concordance again. There is no place in the Bible where people were. You might twist a scripture or two and try to make it say that, but it no place says that somebody worshiped God and it knocked them on their back, or they fell in the back, or that it even knocked them out for that reason. Slain in the spirit. No such thing. I've heard people say they passed out. I'm not saying that they were of the devil. Maybe they just got exhausted. I don't know. But, oh my Lord, we're getting off on all kinds of stuff. Let's get back to our scripture here. All right. Verse 3. He that prophesieth speaketh to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Three things. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. And what you're going to see, if a man's up prophesying, he's edifying other people, he's exhorting other people, and he's comforting other people. If he speaks in tongues, he's edifying himself. He's edifying himself. Now, which would you rather do? Tongues is the least gift. There's nowhere in the Bible where it teaches you to pray for the gift of tongues. There's a woman, a preacher's wife, of the church, was out walking up down at the clothesline, and her neighbor came out. This really happened. I won't tell you what church. She's going down there going, hey, little piece of paper reading. And this woman said, excuse me, ma'am, what are you doing? She said, I'm practicing my tongues. She said, what? She said, I'm practicing my tongues, my gift of tongues. She said, you know, if you don't use a gift, the Lord will take it away from you. And that poor lady had been taught that if you don't continue, that's her spirit, believe me. That ain't the Holy Spirit and it ain't the devil. It's just her. Listen, have we got that far off base in this country that people are actually taught? Remember that woman I showed you the first night up here? She said, I can go into a playground and find a bunch of kids and I can get them all saved and have them seeing visions in no time at all. I don't know. You ain't going to get a bunch of little kids seeing, you know, she don't understand Acts chapter 2 where it talks about that poured out your spirit on your sons and daughters. The context of that scripture at the end of the tribulation in the millennium, because the sun turns to dark and the moon turns to blood. We'll get to that later. But anyway, Lord have mercy. Look at here. There's a spirit of the Lord, there's a spirit of man, and there's a spirit of the devil. When you pray, when you preach, when you talk, one of those spirits pray. Look at verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. What that means is, I'm praying and it's helping me, but it ain't doing nobody else a bit of good. Does nobody else a bit of good at all. That's why verse 19 comes in. Yet, look at verse 18. Paul spoke about six different languages, and he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church. So you mean to tell me he's talking about all this stuff doing it out of church? He said, I speak with tongues more than all y'all. But when it comes to going to church, I would rather, remember that, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that my voice might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He said, five words that people can understand does the church better than 9,995 and nobody don't know what you said. That's what he said. You shouldn't have a problem with that. You shouldn't. I don't have a bit of problem with that. Not at all. And let me tell you something. I'm not just a brainwashed Baptist that don't believe it because Baptist. I'm not. Buddy, when I first got saved, I went to every kind of church. I read every kind of, I listened to every kind of preacher. I said, God, I want everything you've got for me. I went to them all. I've had women preachers lay hands on me, and maybe that's what's wrong with me. I've had crazy people pray for me. I said, I want it. What if it's real God? I want it. And I went through the whole thing. I've been to every kind of service, healing services, people standing around in circles speaking in tongues and everything. And then I got my nose in the book and I said, I'm going to take what the book said, and if a Baptist don't agree with it, they can go jump in the lake. That's the right attitude. People say, well, you Baptists just believe part of the Bible and we're, quote, full gospel. Like we're half gospel or something like that. No, we just rightly divide it and put it in the right place. Okay, you raise your hand if you want to say something, because I'm going somewhere. All right? No, go ahead, brother. You're all right.
According to that scripture, it seems like it's not very important to speak in tongues, but it's okay if people do it.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
In that church, in that time, to the Jew. And in if they done it, put it this way. If somebody thinks God's give them the gift of tongues and they're at home and they do it and they edify themselves, I don't know if you could really condemn that. I really don't. Personally, I don't think it's the gift of tongues like the apostles had it.
Why do they speak in tongues now? What do they claim the purpose of?
The evidence of being filled with the Spirit, because people did it in the Bible when the Holy Ghost came on them, so they think, well, when the Holy Ghost comes on me, I'll do it. And all this started at that Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles. There was no modern day tongues movement until 1906 or something like that in Los Angeles. You know, I don't know this, but I'd beware of any movement that come out of Los Angeles. I'd take spruce pine. I'll take spruce pine over Los Angeles. You know, and Boone and the mountains of West Virginia and Kentucky before I'd take, you know, of course the snake handlers come from there, but you know what I mean? I don't know if I'd trust a movement that began in Los Angeles. God don't start in Los Angeles and work his way back. That's the way the devil does. But they think, I've arrived. This puts me on a higher spiritual plane. Here's what one woman told. These women, they all listen to me. These Church of God women, and they all listen to me. Marion and MacDowell, they all know me. And I've had them tell me. One woman told me, said, well, Danny, he used to have the Holy Ghost, but he lost it. Because I don't believe like they believe no more. And I said, no, I didn't lose the Holy Ghost. I just got my head straight right. Amen. You don't lose the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You don't lose the Holy Ghost. You don't lose your gift. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If you got it, you don't lose it. Anybody else? Right quick. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they think I'm talking in tongues. And they edify themselves. It's edifying themselves. That's right.
Well, I've actually been in church with kids. Somebody would start speaking in tongues and then
somebody would get really quiet and all of a sudden somebody would say something like, yeah. I have to. I don't know. Probably not. It's probably they think they're doing this, their spirit. I've been in church, and I'm not, please don't take this wrong. I'm not making fun of nobody. But a person will stand up, and y'all have seen this, I'm sure. They go, and then somebody will jump up here and say, thus saith the Lord, I have seen thee shining light, and shining light shall have great days ahead, and shining light will have God's blessings. Like that, right? Is that what you're talking about? And they start talking in King James English, I guess because they're interpreted. I am not going to say they're not right with God. I'm very scared to say somebody's of the devil. I don't say stuff like that. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Bob. Yeah, that's right. Well, we're getting to that scripture. He said, if an unbeliever come in, will they not say that you're mad? They'll think you're crazy. Miss Shelley, did you have your hand raised? If it comes back to you, let you know. Let me know. Right.
I've seen a lot of that. I can remember a church I went to 10 years ago. There was one guy that always been up and give utterance. He said the same thing every time. He could say amen. But his interpretation was always different. And that's
kind of what he said. Yeah. Who was it done that thing here the other night? Who was it had that missionary? That was that missionary. Let's see here. Who do we have here? Maria. Is that you? You're the only one here. Does anybody here know another language besides her? Why don't you say something in tongues for us? Just think of something, your address or somebody you work with or something. Just give us a sentence, okay? Go ahead. I ain't gonna tell you what to say. I'm gonna interpret it. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Just what's your mama's phone number in Mexico? No, don't know number. Just what's how do you say? I don't even know how you say numbers in Spanish. Just say something like. Tell you went to Walmart or something. Yeah. Okay. Now, did that edify you? That was John 3:16? Well, I'll be. But you can say that, right? You can say that? Okay. Tie my bow tie, honey cut a watermelon. That's what we always said. Where'd we get to? What were we talking about there? Oh, yeah. Look at verse number 5. Now, the whole gist of chapter 14 is telling you tongues are the least gift, they're the least important because they edify yourself and you would be much better. He said, I would much rather speak 5 words. So the whole chapter is not saying everybody speaking tongues. Because of this one verse right here, they go crazy with it. Watch. Look at verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues. There it is. They say, see, right there, the Bible said we're all supposed to speak in tongues. Paul was saying, look, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. What he meant was, we have unbelieving Jews here. They need to hear the gospel, every nation under heaven. But look here, finish the verse. But rather that you prophesied. He said, I want you to speak in tongues, but I would much rather you prophesy. Why? Because if you speak in tongues, you're edifying yourself, and if you prophesy, you're helping other people. That's the whole thing. So if a person just speaks in tongues, and never does anything with their Christian life, they're just a selfish brat edifying themselves, and their ministry, and I hate to say this because it makes me sound mean, but their ministry is messing up other Christians. That's their ministry. They witness to lost souls. It's always, at your church, they don't. At our church, we teach the real truth. And you need to come to our church because your church is wrong. And their whole ministry is just messing up Christians from other churches. And I'll tell you something else. There's so many of these Christians in dead churches and they ain't had no feeling or life or power for years and years and years. Then they go to one of them things and they feel something and gets emotional. And that music starts playing. They say, glory to God, this is what I've been looking for. And swallow it, hook, line, and sinker, because they ain't never been around old-time religion. If you've ever been around old-time religion, I like what old Charles Worley and them guys said, and Jason said it the other night, real Holy Ghost service will scare a charismatic to death in a lot of times. I've seen them come in church a lot of times, bunch of men get up and start shouting and running the aisles. Men. And they don't know what to do with themselves. Because it's such a different spirit. There's a different spirit in... To me, that always thinks, oh, it's a weird feeling. Then some old guy jump up and say, well, glory to God, I'm glad I'm saved. God's good. Glad I'm not going to hell. See, there's a lot of difference in that. When it's real, that was fake. But that was my spirit. But you know what? Brother, I tell you what. When you ever been in a service where the real Holy Ghost moves, you won't have to figure out what's right. If you ever been around the real thing enough, you'll know a counterfeit the second it walks in the door. And the reason the charismatic movement is growing like crazy, and they got all these weird names and churches now, they don't even call them a church no more, and they have this center, worship center, and this is because people are so dumb, they don't know what they believe, and they're looking for something to make them feel good. Now listen, you come into church, we're living in a generation that all they think about is what makes me feel good. and what I like and what makes me feel good. Listen, we might come in here tonight and we stand up here. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And that talks to your spirit. That ain't really, you know. And then, boy, you go in a church, you go in, and it goes, boom, 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 boom. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I mean, that'll make you start feeling good, man. I get into that, see? Can you tell the difference? That's getting your flesh. I played in the band, man. We run the piano out on the steps at Nebo Baptist, and we was out there singing Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what I care. Now listen. Oh, Peanut's getting it right there. Panene is going to give $1,000 tonight. I have the interpretation. $1,000 from Slim Jim. $1,000 from who else? Noah. $1,000. I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm trying to get you to see the difference. The difference. The difference. When there's an overemphasis on money, and when there's an overemphasis on healing, and when there's an overemphasis on drums and guitars, One church is getting a little weird here, not far from here. And one guy talked to a man that comes here to church. And he said, "Boy, we're getting us a praise band at our church. He said, Danny don't believe in guitars, does he?" And that guy lied on me. I do believe in guitars. But they're dangerous. They are. Piano's the best. Piano and organ is okay. But Dr. Ruckman says this, and I believe it too. There's two instruments that you just can't hardly make sound spiritual. One of them's a drum, one of them's a saxophone. It's hard to make a saxophone, praise God. Have you ever heard a saxophone? Does that make you want to pray? A what? Coupon class. They have to teach you how to cut out coupons nowadays? I'm good. Go ahead. Yeah. We need to get us a praise band. Who wants to be in it? I know you would, brother. Jason can get into that stuff. And I can too. My flesh likes it. But I have something in me that says, stop, no further. You can tell when it starts crossing the line a little bit. Down there in Charlotte the other night, those little kids, and they're mostly black kids, I liked that. I enjoyed it. And I felt the Lord in that. But it's dangerous when you start getting that beat. And those drums are dangerous, man. Them drums are dangerous. When drums are played like this, they're all right. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching. When drums are played like this, they're not right. Tell the difference? That it's an uncertain sound. One of them says, fight! The other one says, that's right. That's right. Anybody else? That's right. That's true. Right, sit down, boy. I have to rebuke him right now. Now he can get into it too now, I'm telling you. If we had that kind of music, he would get into it. That's for sure. Now, I am not against every song just because it's new. People say, oh, well, they're against Amazing Grace when it first came out. Yeah, but Amazing Grace don't make you... It ain't like this stuff we got nowadays. I heard a song on radio the other day on WMIT. I'm telling you what, people. All it said the whole time was... I love the way you make me feel. I love the way you make me feel. I love the way you make me... I thought, what in the world? Who? What are you talking about? It didn't say the Lord the whole song that I know of. You know, that's crossing over, man. That's crossing over into whatever that it is. Oh yeah, Christian rap. Yeah, they got Christian rap now. Christian rap. Now, that where that comes from this belief that music don't matter. Music is neutral. It's just the artist and the words that make it good or bad. That's where that comes from. And that ain't true. That ain't true. Music is not neutral. There's good music and bad music. That's exactly right. Kyle, y'all, we've done went overtime. Go ahead. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. 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 Having a bad attitude and judge like it's they got exercise videos for women now, Christian women, and it's you exercise this Christian music. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I call it firm believer. Ain't that something? That's right, I saw it in a bookstore. Firm believer, brother. But we're living in a weird generation. We're living in a generation that says, I want something to make me feel good when I go to church. We're going to bring this praise band in because we can reach more people that way. We all want to reach more people, but not at the expense of a compromise. Noah reached 8 in 120 years because he refused to cut his message or trim his message. We want to reach everybody, but we're not going to say something right that ain't right just to have a crowd. You can't do that. You can't do that because then you're on your own, man. Lord's gone. Anybody else? Yeah, but we'll get to that. Yeah, but that's that scripture that says if one is unlearned or an unbeliever come in, will they not say that you're mad? And listen, you wait till we get to verse 34 where it says no women. And most of the churches are like 2/3 women doing it. 2/3 at least. Look at verse 34. You want something to blow your mind. And the context of speaking, all the verses before that is tongues, speaking tongues, speaking tongues, speaking tongues. And it said, let your women keep silence, for it's not permitted them to speak. I don't know of a church nowhere that believes like that. There might be one. Anybody else? Right quick. I know them kids are going crazy in the back. Listen, y'all. Don't get this attitude of you better now because you know the truth. You ain't. If you're sitting there backslidden, ain't doing nothing, they're probably more right with God than you are. The Lord will bless somebody if their heart's right. Your head may be mixed up a little bit if your heart's right. Listen, Martin Luther and John Wesley and them didn't believe in eternal security. Amen? So, you get your heart right and then do something about it. All right, we've got to close. If somebody got one more statement, we'll take it right quick and we'll stop because I was saying those kids will drive them nuts.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Christmas Evans, had the great revival in England. I mean, 1,000
people
even in the second fill of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
like
that's right.
Call it being baptized
with
fire
or whatever. A lot of those men were wrong on stuff. They didn't have the revelation not that we have now. And we're wrong on stuff too. I don't know what it is. But if I did, I'd fix it. But we'll find out one day, won't we? We'll find out we're wrong on a lot of stuff. All right. We're going to stop right there tonight.